Okay, so I think we got the audio issues figured out.
We got this time?
Yeah, so I was like troubleshooting with Kyle. Every episode he gives us like feedback of like, you know, what can we do better? What, he's got this really acute ear. So last episode we didn't plug the mic in. We sounded like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Rookie mistake.
So we did that. The first couple episodes, he said the gain was too high. So I'm like looking at this mic right now. Yeah.
He said the gain was too high.
Words that I have never spoken. Gain can never be high enough.
Is this gain with a Z?
I don't think so. I think in the audio world it means something totally. I'm looking at this knob that says gain, and I remember looking at the go and just like instinctively, like wasn't even, oh yeah, gain. Like that's what I like.
Turn that up.
Turn all the way up. Turn it up to 10.
I wish life had one of those.
Exactly. but today I think we're good. The mic's plugged in.
We sound beautiful.
We've done a few checks. We don't sound like Alvin the Chipmunks. Gain is at a moderate level. It will be turned up later in the day when workout commences.
Yes.
So yeah, shout out to Lundy for making us sound crispy and shit.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, so let's get into it. Episode 6?
Episode 6, RX Radio.
How to spot a bad coach.
Yes. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit more on the conceptual points of how to spot a bad coach today.
We're going to talk a little bit more on what?
We're going to get a little deeper than, you know, if your coach weighs 350 pounds of pure donuts, probably don't go to that coach.
Okay, so we're going to get a little bit more cerebral than the obvious.
Yeah,
I mean, this is like a Huffington Post article, like, ha ha ha, don't have a fat trainer. But I think, I mean, there's value to it, right? Like, I think there's an inherent value to having a coach. Like, we spoke on this last episode, you know, like, Kobe had a coach, Michael Jordan had a coach, but I think there's certain attributes that you look for, and there's not only like an ability of a coach, but an ability of an athlete to be coached.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's the thing. It's a relationship. Around. Yeah.
It's like a marriage.
What the fuck do you know about that?
I don't know, man. You've went through it. I've seen other people go through it.
It's free and easy. So I think, you know, to be able to spot out pitfalls, we're not saying like, don't go for a coach, don't have a trainer. We're just saying, look out for these sort of words. So I'm going to start us off with maybe like the first red flag. And it's something to be, I mean, I don't like to speak in absolutes, but be wary of those who can do, right? The old adage, like those who can do can't teach, those who can't teach, teach gym sort of thing. which isn't necessarily true. If you're pursuing coaching from a high end performer in your sport, don't look at their record as an athlete, look at their record as a coach. I mean, my coach is extremely successful in his own right as a coach, but also in his record. Like, he's produced, taken like a girl off the street and in 2 years made her a world record bench champion, a world record bench presser in two separate weight classes. Like, that to me, I mean, as impressive it is from like a fan of the sport, his accomplishments on the platform, but as someone who is seeking out advice and knowledge within the sport, that to me holds higher weight.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, there are those who can do who really can't teach. Their skill level is genetically sort of inbred. It's the perfect storm of hard work and talent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Michael Jordan. I'd rather have Tony Kukoc teach me how to play basketball from, you know, some lanky fucking Croatian guy that have Michael Jordan be like, yo, it's easy. You jump from the foul line and you just fucking fly like Space Jam. Like, oh shit. Why didn't I think to just jump over like 11 other fucking guys? That makes a lot of sense. So like having that ability to sort of assess someone with like what seems to be like a sterling record in their activity, but separate them from that and look at them as their ability as a coach, to look at their resume as a coach, not their resume as an athlete. So I think that would be sort of my first, not a red flag, because there are good coaches who are good athletes. Mm-hmm. But sort of my first point on that would be to look at the record of the coach as a coach, not the coach as an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, so their athletic ability is not completely equal to their ability coach.
Exactly. And not to say there aren't cases where that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people who will sell you on, you know, look at my total, look at my placing at the CrossFit Games, look at my, you know, my Super Bowl rings or whatever your discipline is.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes their only reason why.
Yeah.
Well, hey, why am I doing this like 5x5 3 days out from my meet? Because I bench like 700 pounds. That's why. You got a problem? You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be like my first issue with that.
Exactly.
Now flip it back onto you.
Yes.
Because you made a good point before, and I want you to elaborate on it. So what would be your sort of? This is more of like a almost like a psychological thing.
Yeah. So this is more so on the coach's end than the athlete, but also the responsibility lies on the athlete to pick a good coach as well. There's two things we'll get into here. The first one we'll kind of build up. The second one's kind of more extreme. But the first one is if your coach has an answer to every single question about every single thing, about everything about life,
yeah.
and they can do your taxes, and they know how to train your dog, they have an answer for everything like that, they are blowing smoke up your ass.
Sure.
There's no one in this world that knows everything about everything.
Yeah.
You need someone with, you know, enough humility,
yeah.
enough, you know, just that's able to swallow their pride enough to tell
sure.
you,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If someone has an answer to every question,
yeah.
it's probably not the best answer to
sure.
every question. And that's across the board.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have someone that knows a whole fuck ton about one thing
yeah.
and not so much about everything else
sure.
than someone that knows just, you know, baseline, entry level,
yeah.
everything.
Know what you know, but know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And that's, especially when it comes to CrossFit, my discipline, we do a lot of things in the gym. And
so many things.
So many things. There's
oh
a lot
God.
Of movements. And there's general principles that apply to moving the human body and
sure.
moving it well.
Yeah.
So you can, if you specialize in that,
yeah.
you'll be better off with the other thing. But if there's someone that says, you know, I can teach you how to do this the best.
Yeah.
I can teach you how to do this the
like
best.
Like a gymnastics coach or Olympic weightlifting coach or a powerlifting coach.
Yes, that's the thing. Each one of those should be a separate thing.
Okay.
And that's the highest level CrossFitters. They have a coach for gymnastics. They have a coach for weightlifting.
Okay.
They have a coach for endurance.
Okay.
They're not all the same people.
That's like Biebs has got like a vocal coach.
Yeah.
But like a dancing coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Shout out to Justin Bieber.
You got to keep it Canadian. You know, he was normal when he left Canada. He was just like a sweet kid from like Stratford, Ontario. I don't know what the fuck you guys did to him.
Dude,
I'm just saying.
America will corrupt you.
Apparently so.
So
it's been
know.
A long 12 days.
God bless America.
Yeah. So, all right then. But I mean, I get what you're
God,
so you'd rather the master of one instead of a jack of all trades in your specific discipline.
Yes, yes. So what I'm getting at here is how to spot the bad coach is the one that sells you that dream. Like, I can teach you all of these things
Everything.
And you will be amazing.
I gotcha.
Not the case.
I think that's a unique CrossFit thing because I think within the realm of powerlifting, it's like to be a good powerlifter, you have to be, you know, there are guys who are like, unbelievable benchers, great squatters, but so you can kind of like fly under the radar throughout a meet, like be the third strongest squatter, second strong, and win, right?
Yeah,
like
it's just hovering around the top.
Yeah, where because like you guys will walk into a meet and it'll be like, you know, it's the workout of the day. It's like whatever fucking Hunger Games shit they throw at you guys in that arena.
Hunger
like,
Games.
Yeah, that's
such an accurate comparison.
It's ridiculous. That's honestly like when I watched the first movie, I was like, is this in Del Mar right now? Like, is this where it's set up?
No,
I was waiting for that little whistle like to start it off. Like, I can't do it, but you guys know what I mean.
Yeah, there's just a table full of grenades and knives. No, but it's actually very similar in CrossFit. They do it. It's a point-based system.
Yeah.
It'll be a certain number of events. If you can hover around the top, you know, as long as it's not the same people above you every time, you're usually going to do pretty well.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like to have multiple coaches from multiple disciplines is something unique to CrossFit. Because I think if you're a good powerlifting coach, you can understand the concept of three lifts. Like
we can
manage that.
Yeah.
And then being able to sort of regress and peel apart like the supplemental movements within that.
That's kind of what I'm saying. There's this only a certain capacity of knowledge that each person can have at that extent. And yes, that weightlifting coach, you know, they have, you know, snatch, clean, jerk, and the accessory movements, right? So that's, you know, basically those three lifts.
Yeah.
They know really well. They know how to train for those really well. Same thing with your endurance coach, running, rowing, biking, maybe swimming also, which in my opinion would probably be even a different coach. But there's only a certain scope to each one of those coaches.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then we'll speak on this really quick just to build off of that.
Yeah.
Is that coach with the God complex. As if, you know, I created you. You know, everything you have is because of me. Not true.
Dude, there's some like crazy cases of like, I mean, there's like a hockey player who tried to kill his coach. Because that very same thing. It was like, it was weird. It's like a psychological, like, complex thing.
Exactly, yeah. That's not what it is. It should be a relationship, right?
Yeah.
You guys are working together towards a common goal. Your coach should support you, not feel like they own you.
Does that something that would go hand in hand with someone who thinks they have all the right answers? Like, is that an extension to an extreme event? Like,
yeah, I believe so. That's why I kind of paired those together. That's, you know, it's the common side of things is someone with all the answers. The extreme side is, you know, you are my creation. You're my puppet, you know?
And this kind of lends an interesting point. And we haven't spoken much about bodybuilding yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of us are... Oh, actually, brief stint. Oh, we got to figure out how to do show notes. Someone, if you're listening to this and you know how to upload notes into a podcast, you will not be disappointed by the oiled up picture that is now the background on my phone.
We'll give you one picture.
That's it. But yeah, so this is something that's like really prominent in bodybuilding, and hopefully this sort of, you know, resonates with a couple of our listeners, is there's coaches with that God complex that pick their disciples. I mean, I'm not going to name names. I'm sure you guys out there know who I'm talking about, where it's like, you know, they get to hand select the best of the best, and to the best of that, it's like, oh, I get to work with so-and-so because he's worked with so-and-so. It's like, yeah, but he didn't really like develop that person. Yeah, right.
He just picked someone.
Yeah. He said like, hey, I'm better. And it's like, are you sure? Like, yeah, no, I'm definitely better. And like, okay.
According to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get a footnote citation of that. That's not your ass where you clearly pulled that from.
Exactly.
So it's like a weird sort of, they not only do that, like that God complex of like, you know, they are who they are because of me. But it's like, if you peel back, like, they didn't even train them to get to that point. Like, it's one thing to see someone from their infancy and, you know, if they have like a genetic predisposition to be successful and they have a drive and a passion to pursue that, whatever the endeavor is, whatever the sport is, and then they do take it to the highest level. It's not that it's ever warranted, but it's more warranted in a case where that coach can assume a God complex because they have seen you from that rags to riches sort of thing. But there's these coaches that are just like waiting at the fucking port authority for you to get off the fucking boat. And then you just go, oh, hey, yeah, come with me. This guy's the shit. I did this. It's like, you did nothing, man. Like, you're using that to like, you know, market to the kids who are going to give you money. Uh-huh. It's something I see. I mean, I'm sure it happens in a lot of sports. It's something I see most prominent in bodybuilding is like, is they'll just take on people as they get to the higher ranks, and it's like, well, who's sponsoring who here, right? Like, you're leveraging off this guy's network, and he's busted his ass. Now you're gonna give him free supplements, and he's gonna make you rich. Like, it's just, it's a whole complex you got to look out for.
Yeah, so we can even say at this point that a good coach would be someone that's willing to take the time, see potential, and develop that potential.
Yeah.
As opposed to the bad coach is the one that sees someone that has busted their ass, worked really hard to get to where they are, and then kind of takes them under their wing and takes credit for what they've already done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears here, because this pertains to both of our sports, probably more so than any other, I think. Online coaching.
Yes.
Online coaching, online programs, stuff like that. Any like initial thoughts on it? I mean, I have some hesitations and reservations about it.
Right.
What do you think?
It can be a good thing.
Yeah.
It can be a trap, we'll say, too.
Okay,
kind
sure.
of a, you know, a scheme to make some money. And this goes back also to what you started off the podcast with, is that a good athlete doesn't always equal a good coach.
Sure.
So a good athlete, they'll have usually a large online following, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, YouTube. And that can mean that they pull from that audience to say, hey, look what I can do. Yeah. I can coach you to do this too.
Yeah.
Not always the case, but I think there can be some value to it. And let's have you start and speak on this.
Well, my biggest thing is online coaching has to be, especially for what we do, like, has to be a graduation process. Like, I feel like there's so much granular detail that has to be honed down. And like, without like immediate tactile or verbal cueing, like, if your goal is to squat as much weight as you possibly can handle, then you need someone. You don't need to like send a video to someone.
Yes.
Like, by then it could be too late.
You
right?
need real-time feedback.
Real-time feedback. Like, hey, you know, if someone's failing a rep, you know, cueing a certain position in the middle of the movement can be the difference between finishing the rep or like finishing your career. Like, that's it, right?
Exactly.
So, but that being said, I think once the athlete gets to a certain point of like physical literacy and competence within the movements, within the supplemental movements and accessory work, I think then, and probably only then, should like the outsourcing of the macro, you know, the programming, the periodization, the blocking, the peaking phases. I mean, I'm speaking specifically to powerlifting here, but
right.
only then I think you should really look for a remote delegation of the bigger picture of things. Because I think if you just, you know, come in fresh into a CrossFit gym or a powerlifting gym and say, I want to compete in 8 weeks, and someone goes, great, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, accessory push day, standing overhead press, dips and all that. Cool, yeah, you know, I'll watch a YouTube video, go out, overhead press, first rep, hyperextend lumbar spine, herniated disc. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
So I think you really need to, like, earn your stripes or have a coach, have a trainer, have someone who can keep eyes on and give that immediate feedback before online coaching, like, can be considered. Because I think there are people who can, like, have good working relationships online, and really online allows them to scale their skill set. If their skill set isn't really in, like, the granular detail of the technique, but more so maybe, like, the sports science behind, like, you know, nervous system recovery and how to peak and how to load or weigh volume and intensity, then yeah, you don't need that person sitting in the gym every day. Like, if you got a sound technique and you're a higher end lifter, then I think by all means go an online coach. So I really think you need to earn not the right, but you need to do yourself a favor and sort of take the necessary steps to be able to fully utilize online coaching to its potential without being a detriment.
Right. Yeah, I have some very similar views on online coaching as well. I agree almost 100% with everything you just said. It does take a certain level of base competency for you to have a benefit from online coaching, and it will only take you to a certain level on the upper end of that spectrum as well. So if you think about splitting the athletic spectrum, and this, in my opinion, it doesn't matter the discipline, whether it's powerlifting, weightlifting, CrossFit, but if you split it into quarters,
right?
I'm gonna say the bottom half, so the bottom two quarters of those people, they need to work on developing their movement,
sure.
their skill set,
yeah.
all that stuff before they can have a benefit from online coaching.
Yeah.
So they need that base level of competency.
Yeah.
The upper one quarter, the one that is, you know, the better competitive athletes, they have no business. They've evolved past that point.
Yeah.
Right? They need a one-on-one coach with them, giving yeah. them real feedback, you know, real-time feedback. And that same thing with that first, you know, that bottom one half
yeah.
of people. So it's that middle to upper, what was that, the three-quarter,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
group?
Yeah. We don't do math.
So it's the 50 to 75%.
Sure.
I might even stretch that up a little bit to maybe, you know, the 50 to 80,
85%. Yeah.
But that's the group I think can benefit most from online coaching, because okay. they have all the fundamentals down.
Sure.
They know how to move. They know how
yeah.
to move well.
Yeah.
And then from that point, they're looking to get more of a competitive base. Because I think what a lot of coaching is, and this can be done remotely very well, is coaching the in between your ears.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
it's what you're thinking. Yeah, the psychology yeah. of the athlete. It's keeping them motivated, keeping them honest, keeping
yeah.
them focused. Those are the things that can happen really well over the phone, over text message.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
It just takes knowing that athlete, knowing their personality to be able to do these things.
Now, you guys have an interesting framework as far as, like, coaching goes, because it's almost, it's dual delegated, because you're programming. A lot of gyms come in with, like, they'll subscribe to a programming, like Misfit is one,
yeah.
the Brute Strength is another.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jesse Berg does, like, Powerball, stuff like that, where
yeah, exactly.
it's set to a framework. So in many ways, I don't want to use the word cookie cutter, because I think there's, like, that devalues what these guys do, because they think they put out a good product.
Absolutely.
But you guys have the macro, but you also have an in-person in the micro.
Mm-hmm.
So the macro is sort of in charge of, like, the oversight and the periodization and the progressions and all that. Now, how is it when that is removed from the delegation of the micro, of the in-person coach? How is it difficult at all to remove yourself? Because you coach here as well, right?
Yes.
So is it hard to remove yourself from an interpersonal level when your job no longer becomes broad spectrum, where you just see them on a day to day? Like, how do you be their coach first and not be their friend?
Right. So I'll start this off with, I am friends with a lot of the athletes that come into the store,
yeah.
but we do 1 hour classes here.
Yeah.
In that 1 hour, when it's me and you in there, Yeah, I'll crack some jokes. Yeah. Part of the experience you want when you come in here is to have fun, right? Yeah. That's a lot of the people that come in the doors day to day. They're not here to go to the CrossFit Games. They're here to get a good workout, have a good time. Yeah. So that's always an underlying principle.
Okay.
But my priority in that hour is, first of all, make sure no one gets hurt.
Sure.
So safety is the priority. Yeah. Then further than that is, like we talked about before, develop that athlete. Yeah. So see where they are now. Get them from where they are now to where they want to
expand the bubble a little bit.
So it's a little bit removed from, you know, the words on the board, the workout of the day. But what I do is I'll look at whatever the workout is.
Yeah.
And I'll, this is unique to CrossFit as well. I'll look at the we'll edit this out. I'll look at the desired stimulus. So we're at 628.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Just look at the.
So we'll look at the words on the board, and the idea from there is I'll look at the desired stimulus of this workout. So whether it's meant to be short and fast, you know, long and paced out, somewhere in between.
Mm.
The idea is, I'm going to recreate that stimulus for every person in this building.
I gotcha.
No matter if it's the strongest, most fit person.
Relative to their ability.
Exactly. Or someone that just walked in for the first day today.
So let me flip that on. I mean, I'm going to flip it on its head, and it's something that we didn't really sort of prepare for. But and it's a unique experience to us because of the number of hats we wear, so to speak. Where it's like, how do you... Okay, so we've just established how to be a coach and not a friend.
Yes.
For us, and like I don't want this to come off the wrong, how do you... How do you be an athlete without being a coach, a friend, or people's physicians or their chiropractor?
Fuck me.
Because I always compare it to, and I mean, the people I train with are fucking awesome. Like, I couldn't imagine working out anywhere else. And, but I mean, we're both prepping. I mean, I'm 6 weeks out. You're less than that until the open,
three
right?
Three weeks.
So I think that's something we're going to start tracking a little closely. It's sort of our progress going into our two competitions. But as an aside from that, it's like, dude, when workout's on, it's fucking go time.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen Hangover? Or The Hangover,
yes,
right?
I've seen
that. When Bradley Cooper is like collecting like the fake fucking money for the field trip, and he's just gonna blow off the bit, and the fat kid chases him down the stairs at the end, like at school, and like literally, I've said this like. School is over. I do not know you. And then like, because you leave your office and it's like, wait, which one am I right now?
Yeah.
Am I you know, Dr. Jordan the chiropractor? Am I Jordan the powerlifter? Am I Jordan the friend? Am I Jordan like the trainer? And then it's just like, you really got. I mean, I find this difficult too, because once someone comes up to me, because we both geek out on like, you know, movement and injuries and like.
Uh-huh.
The second my headphones are out and someone's like, I got this thing. I'm like, I got you, homie. Like, and it's been like 20 minutes and I'm doing like banded distraction shit. And I'm like, fuck, I have to do like, I got to work like my percentages now. So is that something that you struggle with here? Like,
definitely.
People, like you, I mean, you hang a shingle. Your door is like opposite to the gym floor.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's my office, gym lobby, gym floor.
Follow RX Radio on Instagram.
Yeah. And we'll, you know, we'll give you a layout.
The lay of the land.
But yeah, so in my office, I am always, you know, Dr. Junta, chiropractor. In that lobby, I'm somewhere in between coach, chiropractor, athlete. And in that gym, fugitive. Do not fucking talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a nice person when I work out. I'm not a nice person when I compete.
Yeah.
Not in the fact that, like, I'm not a nice person. It's just I'm in my zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's I'm focusing on me.
Yeah.
That's my me time.
Yeah.
You catch me after, you know, after that workout, after that set, I'm back to normal Jordan.
Yeah.
But if I'm focused, there's been people... A couple people I can think of in particular. I'm in the middle of a workout. They'll come over and try to talk to me. I'm like, get the fuck away.
Seriously?
Dude, I'm a dick.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's a different kind of dynamic because powerlifting is like, there's a lot of rest in between.
Yeah.
And I mean, I field any question. I tell all my patients, like, come up to me and if you ever have questions. But I find myself, like, after 25 minutes just going like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got that, like, top set to do. And, like, a lot of them are super cool. Like, they, like, preamble, like, hey, you got a minute? But it's like, I literally, honestly, one of the things I say most often to people is like, oh, I guess that was a long answer to a short question. People are like,
every
hey,
time,
so
dude.
Like, have you got this, have you seen this thing? And it's like 45 minutes later, I'm like, so did that explain it? How do you feel? And they're like, I was just like, do you want, I was just going to ask you, like, I'm going to grab some food. Do you want some food? I'm like, oh, okay.
I took that wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's always difficult for me to like be able to step back. But I'm the same way, like, to a certain extent. We talked about, like, the psychology of lifting in the first episode, like, how you are like when on the platform when you're like, and you said focus, like you have to focus. CrossFit is painful,
right?
It fucking hurts. Whereas like I'm opposite, man. Like the headphones are in, the hand hits the chalk bowl.
Yeah.
Like, there's been times where like I look down on the platform and it's like, I can't tell if that's sweat or tears. I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm glad there's enough sweat to like cover that up, but it's like there are some times where it's, because there's this quote, and it's going to be, this is very meathead, but like there's the interview of like Kai Greene, you know, Kai Greene, bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive dude. Yeah. So if you don't know who he is, look him up. But he did an interview, they interviewed him and they asked him about Ronnie Coleman, right? Like, yeah, buddy. Like everyone knows Ronnie. Weight. And they asked him like, you know, what his opinions were on Ronnie Coleman. He's like, you'll never really know someone like that. Like even if interpersonally, if you think you're friends with him, and he's like, just imagine where someone has to go in their mind to put 800 pounds on their back, 12 days out from Olympia, 4% body fat, and go, I'm going to squat down and stand up as many times as I can before I fall over. Like the rage, like the driving force that has to be behind there just to like overcome that. And like, I mean, I don't squat 800 pounds. I don't compete them. But in powerlifting, I think the, because it's such a short burst, I think it's very harnessed. It's very like focused rage, but there you see it. You just see fucking demons on the, like, oh my, what happened in your childhood? Like, what the fuck is going on? And it's honestly, it's scariest with female lifters. Mm. You see like fucking storm clouds just roll in over like a 114 pound girl and like, this is gonna be something else. This is not gonna be okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I've competed and coached in weightlifting too, so it's more of a similar atmosphere to what you're talking about than CrossFit.
Yeah.
So I've seen this too, and I 100% agree. Female lifters put a lot of emotion into what they're doing too. Yeah. So it's a very intense atmosphere.
It's some of like the greatest lifting performances I've seen. Female powerlifters are just, it's out of control. I mean, we sort of got a little far afield there as far as the coaching thing. Let's double back and try and recap. Any other like closing points? Anything else to look out for?
Just the one thing we kind of grazed over it is, with that last tangent, was the difference between a friend and a coach.
Yeah.
That can be something to look out for too. You know, your coach should not be your friend. Not saying that you can't be friends with your coach, but you want your coach to be objective and honest with you. Yeah. You want them to analyze your performance based on what actually happened, not on your feelings about the proportion.
Huge disclaimer. And this is advice I was given, a mentor of mine. Trevor Cottrell, if you're listening to this, fucking message me back, asshole. But no, one of my program coordinators fucking beauty. Like, he told me, he was an Olympic weightlifter.
Yeah.
And he told me at the time, do not work out with your girlfriend. And it's like, I mean, my wife is, I mean, an incredible athlete, Olympic Games, 3-time world champion, 2 separate sports. Like, and if a conversation ever comes up of like, hey, will you like coach me? No, because it's that dynamic, right? Like you can't be a friend. You have to be sort of dispassionate and push past that.
Yeah.
But if you got to go home together, like huge disclaimer, like, I mean, I know just for me, it's a separation of church and state. And that can be difficult when there are, I'm sure people have funnier stories than that out there about like, because it's like, you know, anything from staying on diet. Like if you have a coach and you want some brownies, you can have some brownies, and the coach isn't sitting there looking at you wiping the crumbs off your face. So it's like, that one for me was like, watch out for a bad coach, especially if that coach is your wife.
Yeah, and I dabble in that. I do actually coach my girlfriend, but there has to be that standard set that when I'm your coach, I'm your coach. When I'm not your coach, I'm your boyfriend, right? You got to put that out up front for to make sure that things are happy down the road.
Seriously. Yeah, I think that's an interesting note to close on, because I think a lot of people, because I mean, we're both into it, right? Like, imagine if you want to date Jordan Junta, barbells have to be involved.
Absolutely.
Barbells, it's Al Pastor.
Al.
See, I got it.
You're calling it Al, yeah.
Yeah, but audiophile, this guy on Instagram.
He's Canadian. We'll forgive him.
He hit me up, and he was like, so this dude actually came across a Cape Buffalo in South Africa.
Okay.
And he messaged me and he told me this story, and I told him I'd give him a shout out. And he's like, literally calls me and he goes, it's Al Pastor, you fucking Canuck.
Thank you.
And I was like,
thank you.
I don't know this shit. So shout out Audiophile on Instagram. There it is. I totally forgot where we're going. Oh yeah, no, like to be a part of Jordan Jones's life, you need to be, barbells have to be a part of your life, right? But then it's drawing that fine line between
how much is too much.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
She deserves a medal putting up with you at all.
Oh, so. absolutely.
Yeah, so let's...
So should I sum it up?
Yeah, let's do it. So what do we got?
So we were talking about how to spot a bad coach. Jordan started off with basically saying a good athlete doesn't equal a good coach. It's not an absolute, right? A good athlete very well can be a good coach, but just because you're a good athlete doesn't mean it's going to transfer
directly to coaching. Look at their coaching record. Don't look at their athletic record.
Exactly.
That's what you're hiring
exactly.
For.
A good coach is a good coach, is what we're saying. Then further than that, we got into... someone who has all the answers, someone who thinks that they created you.
Yeah.
Probably not the personality type you want coaching you.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, blow a bunch of smoke up your ass. They're going to make you believe a bunch of shit that's not really true, and you're not always going to get the best answers from them. So find someone whose goals align with yours.
Yeah.
And can tell you what they do know and admit what they don't know.
Have some humility.
Yeah, and then we got into the pros and cons of online coaching. There's some good, there's some bad.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. But
the graduation process,
Can
definitely expedite if you're at a certain level for sure.
Yeah, there's a certain, you know, window of athleticism that you can benefit definitely from that. And then we just capped it off with
don't shit where you eat.
Exactly.
Lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, your coach isn't meant to be your friend. They're meant to be your coach. They're meant to keep you honest. You know, they're meant to tell you how it is, not fluff it up for you. So that's
we'll
a summary.
Wrap.
Summary, yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 6.
Yeah, we'll close it off as we do.
Yeah. Like reviews. Us, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, give us that 5-star rating, Write some reviews.
Yeah, share with your friends.
Yeah.
And we'll till next time.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Yeah, take it easy.